Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, Southern California's number one podcast network, the only place for the show for every team in Southern California and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? Yep, so we are here for episode 9. Quickly, going to go over the game against Winnipeg and Vancouver. We're going to talk about Josh Mahura's strong game. We're going to go over the interesting game against Vancouver that was pretty one-sided in Vancouver's favor, but the Ducks pulled it out. Anaheim breaks their, I believe they broke their three-game losing streak against Winnipeg. Strong game for Josh Mahura. He comes up after injuries to Manson and Lindholm. So the Ducks have a kind of a thinned-out defensive core, but Mahura performs well. What was your impressions on him, first of all? How did he look?
Yeah, I think I guess as we were watching him kind of in preseason and you kind of saw the landscape unfolding and I think he was in there, kind of a bubble with some of the other, like maybe the 5-6 guys, and I think he was right there at camp. I mean, he looked good, had a good solid camp. It didn't happen for him, and I've been there personally from experience, so I know that. I mean, it's a situation where you're training all summer. You're kind of eat, sleep, drink, whatever, doing everything with that one goal in mind of cracking the lineup out of camp. And I'm sure that was after getting a taste last year with the big club. That was all that was on his mind for the entire summer. And to have camp go the way it did, I thought he had a good camp, but it just, things don't work out sometimes, and the timing isn't always where you want it to be. But good on him for making the most of his opportunity when he got back in the lineup. And I'm sure that had to feel good to notch 3 assists in 3 minutes or something. Like, that's pretty unheard of. And there's a lot of talented young players in the league that points are definitely not easy to come by. So to get a few bunched together like that was awesome to see for him. Clearly has some good offensive instincts. You look at his numbers. Coming up through junior, basically point of game player his last couple of years for the most part. So the offensive there probably, like all young defensemen, has to learn the finer points of the rest of the game. When you have that skill level and the just the composure he has with the puck, I mean, they had him out there on the power play and he looked very comfortable kind of at the top of the power play, kind of working things around. And obviously the 3 assists, if we can kind of go through those. Just kind of dedicate a few minutes to Mr. Mahura here.
But, yeah.
I think it's a cool story, and I like that we're starting with it. So the first goal, he gets the puck at the point. Nice kind of heads-up dish. That's what I like about him. Yeah, whenever he gets the puck, it's a sign of a good player. The head's always up. Nice dish, just a simple play kind of down to the half wall, but then I love that he just kind of jumps through just to kind of gets his feet moving, and just, you don't always see defensemen do that. Not everyone kind of has the sense of when that's the right timing, but yeah, he made a great play to jump through, create some space, and then the nice feed, was it Silverberg to Henrique, maybe,
yeah.
And the tip from the high slot. Nice play, but just a subtle little move by him just to get the feet moving. 3 or 4 strides, open up that couple feet passing window for Silverberg to thread that through.
Yeah,
nice,
I think,
play there.
Well, just a quick thing to add in that one is I think something sometimes people don't notice is like move off the puck. You mentioned that those 3 or 4 strides he took, that, like, it can be, I think, very disorienting for a defense covering the zone when all of a sudden you have that offensive defenseman just changing his position a little bit. And like you said, opened up some space for the pass to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because not every defenseman's going to kind of have that initiative to jump in there, and 9 times out of 10 nothing's going to become of it, but every once in a while it'll create something, and it did on that play too. And I know you mentioned you had in the notes his second assist was a nice play. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Just looked like he blocked a shot or picked up a rebound and or gloved it down, and then just an long indirect pass off the boards to Terry, who took it in. I think it was off the boards, right? Kind of like a bank shot almost, or was it straight at him?
Yeah, that was straight up the gut. Yeah, he kind of threaded it through, right through the neutral zone. A nice pass, heads up play again.
Yeah, and it was good. I mean, Terry staying on sides. At first look, I thought Terry might have been off sides, but he was on side and just a perfectly timed, right on the tape pass by Mahura, and Terry did the rest. I think that was the most obvious good play that he had of the night, but it was a long, beautiful pass.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure if he knocked the puck out of the air, but yeah, the puck was coming in and kind of bouncing her up in the air, and he did a nice job to corral it and again head up all the way, and just took advantage of like you had in the notes a horrible line change by Winnipeg. Just to spring Terry, and nice to see him get one get another assist on the winner last night. Really nice pass up to Getzy there, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Right? Yeah.
So that's, and then the third assist wasn't as direct as the first two, but just kind of a lucky one that you'll get every once in a while as a defenseman when things are going right. So
yeah,
and that round out a 3-point night for Josh Mahura.
And I thought it was just kind of a good way to look, like rewarded for kind of, he was inside position on the forward that he was covering. He just kind of blocked down a soft shot that ended up deflecting to a teammate, and then resulted in a goal at the end of the play. But I mean, just shows what happens when you're in the right position and you're doing your job. Sometimes points go your way when you're not necessarily trying to start offense. So
yeah, that's a great point. Great point. Getting reward for doing the little things. Absolutely.
Yep. So then we have the Getzlaf, Comtois, Richie line, which I think has played pretty well over the last few games. Getzlaf and Comtois' chemistry, especially, I really like. First of all, I like what that line brings overall. Three big bodies, physical, but Comtois and Getzlaf especially are pretty versatile. Richie is a big guy in front of the net, but you kind of can cycle them all there. And a couple goals from Comtois to Getzlaf and vice versa over the past week that I think the chemistry is definitely developing between those guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we saw signs of it in preseason that this is kind of something that could work very nicely. And it has, definitely. Those three guys have shown some great chemistry. I think they work well. They're hard to play against. They're all three good-sized guys. Comtois, I like his physicality too. He's not afraid to finish checks. So combine that with Richie, who's not shy to do that either. And Getzy's a big guy as well. So they're hard to play against when they get kind of set up down low. And they've been great. I think really strong option. And then we've got Henrique and the Swedes and the young kids playing well, and then that fourth line, like I think everyone's kind of carrying their weight right now, but to have these guys jump in is just gonna do nothing but help for sure.
And then moving over to kind of the shots and the goalie, Gibson played both the games against Winnipeg and Vancouver. I thought that Gibson probably, I thought he might have sat against Winnipeg after, even though it was, I think, 2 days in between games, the last game being against the Golden Knights before Winnipeg was a real kind of shelling. And I don't know, I harp on this a lot. Obviously, I'm not an NHL coach or an NHL goalie, nor was I a goalie in my entire life. But I just feel like Gibson faces a lot of shots. I think I would have rested him when I had an opportunity, but he gets the win. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but the Ducks get the win against Winnipeg. Do you think he's playing too much at this point, or do you think it's just the right amount?
I think the key in all that was, you said there was 2 days rest in between, and they were coming home from Vegas, so. They had that time to recover. I don't think, you're going to go wrong with either option. I could have seen them starting Miller, especially when have a high shot volume and kind of a lot of work in a tough building there in Vegas. But it was definitely a scrambly game against Winnipeg. I was there for that one, and just a lot of goals, kind of a lot of chaos out there, a lot of funny bounces, a lot of kind of back and forth. But I think once the kind of game settled in and the dust settled, and it was 5-4 kind of in the third period. Then Gibson made some huge saves and finally kind of settled in and made the saves that we've all kind of grown accustomed to. And yeah, they end up getting the win. So I guess you can't
fault them.
Can't argue with that. That one, like, speaking of scrambling, I love the Grant goal in that game, where it was just kind of a melee and launched the puck at the net from a corner. I think it bounced up and bounced off his ass and in the net. Or it was just great. You kind of saw that unfolding live and it go in. And I'm kind of like, is there? Like, you're kind of wondering, like, it was such a unique scenario. Like, he didn't hit it with his hand. He kind of, yeah, it was either his hip or his ass that he just kind of bunted it in the net, but he put it, like, top corner, which is, yeah, pretty impressive, but a great goal. You saw them laughing kind of about it in the scrum after, but, yeah, nothing pretty, but nice to see those guys get rewarded. He's been playing great this year.
And go ahead.
After you.
Final note on that game. It was good to see them get the win after they get back home after losing 3 straight. Tough game to Vegas. They come out and they win a messy game, but they get their offense going. And speaking of scrambly, or I guess you'll say Gibson's stolen games, the Vancouver game from last night would definitely fit in that mold. They get outshot 40-29 overall, 19-5 in the first period. I think they give up no power play goals, but they get 5 penalties or 6 against them, and surprisingly don't give up any power play goals against that first unit of Pettersson, Besser, Hughes. I think Horvat's out there too. I mean, surprising victory, I would say, considering how the game looked, and then Getzlaf scores the OT goal. Just kind of a summary of that game, but what were your impressions overall from, like, something to take away from the Vancouver game?
Yeah, well, first of all, Vancouver's a good team. All of a sudden, the kind of rebuild has been accelerated, and with the young players they've got and how well they're playing. Love another young defenseman there, Quinn Hughes. This guy's unbelievable. It's just so fun to watch. Such a high skill level. The guy's got 10 points already. It's crazy. So he's insanely talented, as are Pettersson, Besser, the list goes on. Good team all of a sudden, and you saw what they did to LA. So this was going to be a tall task. Obviously, the first period didn't go great, but to escape out of that, up 1, I think, with that nice play by Silverberg, and then to get out of there with the 2-1 win in overtime. I thought they played better as the game went on. Third period, they started to kind of, again, like, settle in. And I don't know if it was adjustments or just kind of getting their legs under them and the trends of the game. But I thought they looked better as the game went on. Started to create some great A chances. Markstrom made some unbelievable saves as well. But, yeah, Gibson's a story there last night, no doubt. And also that OT winner, great pass by Troy Terry, and an even better pickup, I don't think, for Getzlaf to kind of scoop that with his hand, pivot, go in on a breakaway. Like, that's, he made it look easy, but that's a very, very difficult play to do that and maintain your balance and speed, and then kind of have the wherewithal to kind of pull a puck, toe drag back to yourself at full speed, and kind of be able to pull it back and get it around Markstrom, who I don't know, I feel like he probably might want that back and just maybe stay in the net, but that's so easy to say when things are at full speed. I think I'm sure he thought he could get there clearly. So
do you think, I mean, what do you think he saw looking up, like, Getzlaf's head maybe being down for a moment trying to pick up that pass with his glove? I mean, it's just seems an odd, because it really felt like, I mean, in slow motion, that Getzlaf had a breakaway from the blue line in.
Yeah.
And I when I saw it, I thought maybe full disclosure, we had some guests over, so I didn't see it live, but I rewound it and watched it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, he was actually, I mean, even at full speed, it wasn't that much of a bang bang play. Like, I don't know what Markstrom was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an aggressive play, for sure. And I think he maybe saw the puck kind of getting a little bit ahead of Getzlaf. And like I mentioned, he was kind of had to basically accelerate to full speed to kind of keep the breakaway. But at the same time, we pulled a little toe drag. So I don't know, you kind of gamble that that's going to be too hard of a play to kind of catch up to the puck and get around you. And you thought you could get out there in time. But yeah, I think when those plays look out, you would be like, oh, look at how aggressive. I love to see that from your goalie. You're like looking to make a play and all that stuff. And then when it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So, but yeah, I think as from the coaching staff, I think those are one of those games where you almost have to, in the next day in video, kind of give it the old, yeah, we won, but there's probably a lot they want to address after that game, a lot they can take away from the video and build and not, I'm sure the veteran guys and everyone, and even the young guys, everyone kind of knows to a man that that's not going to be a recipe for long-term success, or it's going to be able to win a lot of those ones when things are like that. So I think they're just going to have to tweak a couple things, but always love getting the win, and yeah, just a great performance by Gibson.
I think most of those guys after last season, I mean, it's probably pretty obvious at any level that you play that if you win a game like that, you're not going to be able to sustain success with that type of game. But I think it helps that the team kind of had a similar streak at the beginning of last season, and then it turned negative so quickly. If any of the young players needed that lesson reinforced, I'm going to take over for a bit. Kent's got a little bit of thing to work on at the coffee shop, but I'll just finish up for you guys. So the end of the Vancouver game, takeaways from that one. I think the fact that the Ducks once again were penalized a lot but didn't give up any power play goals was important, especially having watched that game against, I was at the Kings Vancouver game a few nights before. It was Wednesday night, and that first unit power play of Pettersson, Besser, Hughes, and Horvat, and then I forget who else was on D, but they just absolutely dismantled the Kings' penalty kill, which isn't very good to begin with, but they looked very impressive. They could score from both sides of the ice. They were kind of, first they were going after that one-timer type play from the top of the circle and would alternate between Pettersson and Hughes. And then they kind of switched sides and were going more for the backdoor play, and finally Pettersson just roofed one. So I was impressed that the Ducks didn't give up any power play goals, especially in a game like that that was one-sided for a lot of the time, except for the second period. And then just kind of getting off the schneid, stringing together two wins any way possible, especially against a team in the Canucks that, lo and behold, might be a team they're battling with for the final playoff position in the Pacific, or playoff position period. It was a good, gritty win. Like Kent said, they aren't going to be able to maintain that type of play and have a successful season, but hey, they got the job done. And now heading into the next two games, they've got kind of as hard as the October schedule was now, they've kind of got some winnable games coming up with some rest in between. Tomorrow night, Sunday, they're going to be playing the Blackhawks at Honda Center. And then Tuesday, they play the Minnesota Wild. Two teams that are struggling. Should be winnable games. They hopefully can string four wins in a row together. And then they've got 4 days off before they face the Edmonton Oilers and a few more tough teams. Edmonton a week from Sunday, and then they finish out that week against the St. Louis Blues. So I think this is a good chance to get momentum going, to get nice long rest, probably 4 days in a row, probably the longest rest they've had since the season started, which is good. The injuries, it's good to see Lindholm get back. Obviously, Manson's out for 5 to 10 weeks, I believe it is. So their new acquisition, Eric Branson's going to have to step up. Josh Mahura's going to have to step up. Let's see if they bring Brendan Gooley back from the minors at some point. But this is where they kind of have to dig deep. I think they can do it. They're in a good part of the schedule. That'll do it for episode 9 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast. You can find us on all of your favorite podcast directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. You can find us at Believe.com. That's BLEAV.com. And at Believe Podcasts on your social media accounts. You can always find me on Twitter at DeliTweets, that's DelliTweets, and you can find Kent on Instagram at Husk_Verna, that's Husk_Verna. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week.